how a church will respond. And there's a lot of people that saw you guys respond to the death of my mother, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. God is not careful to forget your labor of love. Don't let anybody ever tell you differently. See, God's in this thing. He loved us enough to give us His Son. And God lets people come into your life that you love, that shows His, that you love them, and it's just a little glimpse of how much He loves us. He gives us people. He gives us mothers. He gives us fathers. He gives us church members. He gives you pastors. He gives you teachers. He fits this thing. It's fitly framed together. And it's God Himself who's organized it, and He's performing that work in us until the day of Christ. But I want to thank you guys for what you did for me and my family publicly this morning. I appreciate that. God will not forget your labor of love. You see, people are looking in this world for people to love them. That's all they're looking for. They're not worried about how much money you got. They're not worried so much about what house you got, what car you drive. All that stuff doesn't matter. You see, that stuff will burn up. Let me tell you what they will remember. They'll remember those who will get down in the ditch with them, who will dig them out, who will give them some love where everybody else would pass by and everybody else would give up on them. But I'll tell you what they will remember. They'll remember those who loved them. He will not forget your labor of love. I appreciate that this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, be turning to the book of John, chapter number 6. I want to look at a few verses here found in John, chapter number 6. Here we'll see a very familiar passage of Scripture. We'll find the disciples in a storm. We'll find the disciples in a hard place in their life. We'll find them struggling. But we'll find a great Savior that'll come up and bail them out. Let's begin reading in John chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. And when He was now come, His disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea rose by reason of a great wind that blew, so that they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs. They see Jesus walking on the sea. There's no place He can't walk this morning. No place that. But a lot of people sell Him short, but there's no place, there's no problem that He can't get into, nothing that He can't solve. And drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But He said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received Him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." Today I want to teach on this thought some things you need to know as you go through the storm. Some things you need to know as you go through the storm. You see, there's some things that Jesus left behind in His teaching in the Word of God that can get us from this side to the other side. And you say, "I've never been in a storm." You just hold on, because you'll be in a storm before you know it. You're either going into the storm, you're in the storm, or you're coming out of it. You say there's some things to know as you go through the storm. You see, earlier in this chapter, you'll find where Jesus feeds the 5,000 beside the women and children. The disciples had seen that. They had seen that great miracle where He told them to sit down, and He break and He blessed the bread and He gave it. And the disciples took up the 12 basket loaves and gave it back to Him. And then when they looked back, each time they gave it to somebody else, it was as if their basket kept coming more into it. And they gave it to some more. And I imagine that they sat down, old Thomas, as he began to pass out that old bread and that old fish, he said, "We're going to run out." And he went on to his first 100. And he didn't run out. And he went on to his second 100, and he didn't run out. And he went to his third 100, and he didn't run out. Let me tell you, Jesus never runs out this morning. There's some things in this world that'll run out, but let me tell you what, He's never ran out on me. He's never left me nor forsake me. He's been by my side all the time. And I praise His holy name this morning that He never runs out. He never runs out. Thomas got probably back to his other 1,000, and he said, "This thing sure does look like it did when I started." And all those disciples, they began to pass that out. But now we're going to see the disciples who was in the perfect will of God. I'm talking about they was doing what Jesus had told them to do. They was following Him. But now they're going to find themselves where they need Him more than they ever have. They're going to find themselves in the storm. And each one of us that's in here today has been through storms, and we've faced that. But I want you to have comfort in this. There are some things you can know as you go through the storm. The first thing I want you to know this morning that you can know, we're governed by His providence. We are governed by His providence. You see, there are no accidents with God. There may be some things that we can't explain in our little mind that we carry, but we believe you can know this, that God is in control this morning. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. You say, well, how are we governed by His providence? Let me tell you what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. The Bible's in the same, you'll find this passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter number 14. You'll find it again in Mark chapter number 6. And you'll find it again in John chapter number 6. There are some things you can know when you go through the storm. You're governed by His providence. He said this in the book of Matthew. He said He constrained His disciples that they would get into the ship to go into the other side. That word constrained means that He nudged them. He told them. He wanted them to get into the ship. Let me tell you, there was Jesus, did He know that there was going to be in a great storm? I believe He did. You see, everything we'll ever go through in this life, let me tell you what, God has so arranged it. The other day, Brother Tim was testifying. He said, God compasseth about me, around about. But you'll find that over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 139. Let me tell you what that means. He's in front of us. He's behind us. He's to our right. He's to our left. And He's prearranging things that are around us that if we saw what we was going to have to go through, we would probably say, no, Lord, we don't want to do that. We don't want to go through this. And we would handpick our problems. Can I get a witness right there? If we had a choice in this thing, we would handpick everything that we went through. But let me tell you what you wouldn't do. You'd never know His providence. You'd never know how big of a God we really have. But let me tell you what He's doing. He's prearranging those things by His providence. He constrained His disciples to get into the ship. He knew that they was going to go through the storm. Let me tell you who His disciples were. You know who Peter, James, and John were. They were fishers. They knew all about the sea. They was the people that if you wanted to go fishing, they would be your guide. They would know how to handle each storm that got up out there on that water. This was not their first time ever being on the water. They knew how to row the boat. They knew how to cast a net. They knew all these things that they needed to know. But let me tell you, there's going to come a storm in your life at one time or another that you're going to need something besides yourself. And you're going to need the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to need His presence. You're going to need His power. And you're going to need Him to be right by your side. These disciples were going to find that through His providence. It says, turn over in your Bible. I want you to see this in Psalm. Just hold your place here in John 6. Turn over to Psalm chapter 107 and verse number 24. I want you to see what David said. Psalm chapter 107 and verse number 24. It says, "These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." And here it is. "For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to go again to, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven." Look what He said back up there in verse number 25. It says, "For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof." Let me tell you, by His providence, He knows what storm we can go through this morning. He knows what you can do. He knows how to handle the storm. Every storm that you'll ever go through is handpicked by God. You see, when I first got saved, I didn't know that. And I think, well, God, what are You trying to show me through this? What did I do? Every time I went through a storm, I said, what did I do wrong? I'd say, what did I do wrong to get me in this shape? Let me tell you, just because you're walking in the storm doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. These disciples had just seen the miracle. They had started their ministry with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen all that He had to offer. They had seen the manifestation. They had seen the miracles that He had given them. But let me tell you what, they was walking right by His side, and God Himself prearranged a storm right there for them by His providence. Just for them. Not to show them how big they were. He was going to show them how little they were, but to show them how big He was. Not only do you see that they were governed by His providence, I say secondly, some things you need to know as you go through the storm, that they were growing by His plan. You see, there's a plan that God has got it for each and every one of us. You see, His plan is not that you just come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and that's all we do. You see, He's got a specific growth pattern for each one of us. And each one of us, every day in our life, ought to be growing as a Christian. We ought to be becoming more mature. We ought to be growing up into Him in all things. Each day of your life, they should say, man, He looks more like Jesus than He did yesterday. And everybody that sees us, they say, man, I used to know Him, but I don't know that guy right there. I mean, when I first got saved, some of the friends that I've been hanging out with, some of them just basically ditched me. But I tell you what it was. It wasn't because it was who I was. It's because they didn't like the Christ inside of me. I couldn't do the things I used to do. I couldn't say the things I used to say. And each day of my life, I'm on a purpose in my heart to grow up into Him and all things. Growing up into Him. See, He wants us, there's a particular growth pattern. Turn over to Psalm chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 4, verse number 1. David said this, Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, it says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, though Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. David said, Thou hast enlarged me. You know how He enlarged him? In his distress. What does that word enlarge mean? It means to become bigger. It means to come broader. It means to take where you once had a limit to move that limit. You see, we get settled in this thing of Christianity and we don't want to get ourselves enlarged. You know what God's going to do? He'll send you through the storm. But know this, He's growing you by His plan. David said, I wouldn't have grown except for He sent those distresses to me, those things that would try me, those things that would take me further. And you know what He's doing by that? He's making him a better Christian. He's making the people around him look at him and see the trials that he's going through and the tragedies that David went through and look at him and know that there is a God in heaven and a God in heaven will take him through those things. You see, what God brings you to, He'll always bring you through. You see, God is. You may be here in the storm this morning. You may be going through it. I started to tie this thing in the storm. Let me tell you, we're not always in the storm. We're going to go through this thing, and God is carrying us from one side to the other. And He'll be safe to get you to where He's going because He's growing you by His plan. He's growing you by the plan. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says this. It says that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, there's two types of storms that we can go through. And I mentioned one earlier. You see, you may be here and there'll be a storm of correction. And that storm of correction is where you've got out of the will of God. You've done things that you shouldn't have done, and God is trying to bring you back into the fold. You see, if God, every son of God that He has, He loveth, He chasteneth. And if I were to get out of the will of God today, you know what He'd do? He'd chasten me just like my mother and my father did when I got out of control at my house. And you know why He does that? Because He loves me. And He wants me to come back into this thing. And He wants to restore fellowship, a storm of correction. But not only that, you'll see that secondly, the other storm that you may be going through is a storm of perfection. A storm of perfection where He's taking you and He's making you walk through things that He walked through down on this earth. And He's already been through those things. And He's taken those things that He'd walked through and now you're walking through them. And other peoples have walked through them. And all the Christians have walked through them. And He's making you perfect into Him. You say, well, I don't feel too perfect. Well, stand in line. I don't either. But let me tell you what He's doing. He's performing a work in me. And it's a work of perfection. It's growing me up into Him in all things. A storm of perfection. He's growing us by His plan. Not only is He growing us by His plan, He's gracing us by His prayers. Turn in your Bible here in Matthew chapter 14. In the parallel gospel here. Look what it says He did. It didn't mention this in John. But it mentions this in Matthew chapter 14. And you need to know this. You need to know when you think nobody's praying for you, there's a God in heaven that's on the right hand of the Father that's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's found in the book of Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 23. Look what it says he was doing. Now, we know the disciples were on the sea and they was going out and they was fixing to meet a storm. The Bible says this in Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to do what? To pray. And it says, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. What do you think those disciples thought? They saw that storm, they come in, and they didn't know where Jesus was. The book of John said he hadn't come. And that's much like us. We say, well, Jesus, we're in this storm, where are you at? And I've said that several times in my own life. When I went through a storm, I said, Jesus, where are you at? Let me tell you what he's doing. You may not know where he's at, but let me tell you what he's doing. He's a praying. The disciples didn't even know he was up. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And the very thought that he'd seen, he probably could look down and see those disciples out in the middle of that storm, and he was praying for them. He's praying for his disciples. You see, he's gracing us with his prayers. You see, we think of Jesus a lot of times. See, he did finish the work on Calvary. He said, it is finished. And he gave us salvation through that work on the cross. But let me tell you what's unfinished. His prayer ministry is unfinished. You see, he may have finished that work on the cross where he died for our sins. But let me tell you, there's a never-ending ministry of prayer that he's given us each and every day. You say, when will it end? It'll end when he gets ready to. And when he comes back in the clouds, that prayer ministry will end. Pastor said this the other day, yesterday when Miss Betty's funeral, he said this. He said, I have to change my prayer life because we're so used to praying for Brother Roy and Miss Betty. He said, now I've only got to pray for Brother Roy. You see, once you get to heaven, you won't need any prayers. It'll be a finished ministry when he comes back. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more heartaches over there on the other side. Let me tell you, he's gracing us by his prayers. There's things that we couldn't get through to here today, but we got a Savior up in heaven that's praying for us, that's getting us through by his prayers. Take comfort in that this morning. When you think nobody else is praying, there's a man on the right hand of God that's making intercession for us, and he knows how to get through to the Father. He's the best lawyer I've got. He's the best friend I've got. He knows all about me, and he knows how to get in touch with the Father for me. Take comfort in that this morning, that he's gracing us by his prayers. He said this in Hebrews 7:25. It said, wherefore is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, there's an intercessory work that Christ himself is doing for us. He's making intercessions to us, to the Father. You say, what happens when you sin? I can go to the Father and restore that fellowship. And you know what he's doing? He's making intercession on my behalf to the Father. And the Father looks down on me and he says, he's clean, he's perfect. I don't see nothing wrong with him. You say, well, you don't look too clean and you don't look too perfect, but you got to look through me in God's eyes. You got to see me through Christ. You see, when I got saved, Christ came to live in me. And now that I have Christ inside of me, I've got him on his right hand of the Father making that intercession, and he looks down on me. I'm a child. I'm an heir to the throne. You said, don't let these clothes fool you this morning. I'm an heir to the whole kingdom because of Christ. And when he looks down on me by the intercessory work, God said he's clean. Thank God for that. He graced us by his prayers. Not only you see he graced us by his prayers, we're glad because of his presence. You see, those disciples out there all alone. And they said, where's the Lord at? Not even knowing he was up in that mountain praying. But next thing they know, he came walking to them on the sea. They were glad because of his presence. You know what it scares me in a church? Is when I can't see his presence. I can't feel his presence. I thank God we go to a church that we're so sensitive to the Holy Ghost and to the Spirit of God, we know when we're in his presence. You see, a lot of people today don't even know what the presence of God is. They wouldn't know if God pulled up and tooted a horn to let them know he was there. I thank God we're in a Spirit-filled church that when he comes by, we can feel his presence, we can sense it, and we got a pastor that's obedient to the Holy Ghost. You know when you're going to get the most out of your life is when you're in the presence of God. This morning I was up reading, and his presence was so real, and I began to cry because of his presence. To take right away to the Holy Ghost, there's nothing like it. We're glad because of his presence. Look in John 6:20. He says, But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. This is what he said in Matthew in the same verses. He said, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, he said this, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. See, they was glad because the Lord was there. They knew the difference when the Lord wasn't there and when He was there. They knew the difference. We are glad because of His presence. I was thinking of this. This was Brother John D. Weathers. This was his birthday verse, and I used to take him around, and we'd ride around to revivals and everything. And this is what he told me. He said, "This is my birthday verse, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is what it says. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And everything give thanks. And I thought about these disciples as they was out on that storm, on that sea. How could they give thanks? And this is how they could give thanks. They could be glad because they was in the presence. You say, every storm we go through, I can be glad in it because I know His presence is near me. We got a God that didn't get out of trouble. He gets into our trouble with us. And David said this in the book of Psalm, in chapter 31, verse number 7. He said, "I'll be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities." He said this in Psalm 32:11. He said, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all that ye are upright in heart." Psalm 91:15 says this, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in the trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." I thank God today we got a God that gets into our trouble with us. He don't turn His back on us. There may be people in this world that turn their back on you, but He never does. He said, "I'll be right there by your side." I thought of the three Hebrew boys. I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No doubt when they walked to that fire there in the book of Daniel, they said, If not, He will deliver me. And they didn't even know He was in the fire. But let me tell you, He was there. And there was a king that could see that fourth man loose walking in the fire with them. He was there, and they was glad because of their presence. The disciples here in this storm were glad because of His presence. We ought to be glad because of His presence around us each and every day in our life. And you may be here in the toughest, the darkest time that you've ever walked through. And by the way, here in John chapter number 6, they was in the fourth watch of the night. That's the darkest time. That's that hour that's past the midnight hour and up on up into the morning when you think all hope is gone. I remember one time I got hurt and it was in my foot and I went through and it got infected and I laid down and I couldn't go to sleep and I thought I got into the fourth watch of the night and I said, "Where's the doctor's office?" And they was all closed. Let me tell you where Jesus works. He works in that fourth watch of the night. You may be here today and you may think you're in the fourth watch of the night and you think all hope is gone. But let me tell you who's there. It's Jesus. And we ought to be glad because of His presence. He said, "I will be with Him in trouble." Don't forget that and always take comfort in He's always there by our side and we can be glad in His presence. The hardest thing I see in being by His presence, if you'll notice in this story, He waited. He didn't come to Him when they first got into the storm. He waited on them. You see, they had wrote, the Bible says, 5 and 20 to 30 furlongs. And He'd let that wind get up and began to probably push them back. They was once rowing just to stay where they were. But probably when Jesus got there, they was already give up and pushing back. He waited on them to show them that they would fail in themselves. The hardest thing you'll ever do is wait on God. Waiting on Him. There's been times in my life I've got out ahead of Him because I couldn't wait long enough. See, we live in a day where we want to get ahead of Him. Always wait on Him. You say, "I want to do things in the ministry." Wait on Him. "I want to do something great." Wait on Him. He'll show you. He's big. I remember when God was calling me to preach, and I wanted to make sure it was rock solid shore. I'll just be honest with you. I'm telling you about myself. I wanted to make sure it was rock solid shore. For 3 years in my life, I struggled with the call to preach. Not struggle, people use that term, but not really struggle, but make sure of that call. And God, and I'd wait on Him. I said, "Show me, Lord, show me." And I was kind of like Gideon. I want to throw my fleece out and make sure He'd wet it and I'd pull it up, that kind of thing. But let me tell you what, I was glad because of His presence, and waiting on Him is not always easy. But let me tell you what, He'll always give you something. I remember when He called me to preach, I'd walk into the closet and I'd look at my suits. He said, "I didn't give you them for no reason." I'd get up in the morning, I'd go to work. And he'd say, "Don't forget about that." And I'd come home at night and he'd be, "Don't forget about that call." Every night I'd go through it. He'd say, "Don't forget about that." And I'd wait on Him to make sure it was sure. The hardest thing these disciples had to do was wait on the Lord that night. But they was glad because of His presence. And just because you're here and you're waiting don't mean He's not near. You see, a lot of times we think just because He's not there that He's not even near. But let me tell you, He's closer than you think. You see, He's always close by our side. I read in the Bible where it said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I can take comfort in that this morning to know that He's always near, no matter where I'm at. Not only are we gladdened by His presence, we're guarded by His protection. Look what He said there in verse number 20. It is I, be not afraid. If Jesus was here this morning, He said, don't worry about all this stuff that's going on around you. He said, I got some protection for you. He's got it all under control. We're guarded by His protection. Here in this verse, when He gives this reference, He said, it is I. That was the same, if you read your Old Testament back in the book of Exodus, when He told Moses, go to Pharaoh, He said, who are you going to tell him sent you? He said, I am. Just tell him I am sent you. That was the same reference He was given here. He says, it is I. Take comfort in this morning to know it is Him. It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. Not on that, and I'll close with this. I'm closing down. Not only are we guarded by His protection, but lastly, we're guided by His purpose. We're guided by His purpose. You see, God's got a purpose for each one of us here this morning. You're not here just sitting here on taking up space and breathing air. God's got a purpose for you. See, there's some people out there that you can reach. There's some people that you can reach that I can't reach, that I don't know. I don't know their circumstances. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know anything about them, but there's people that you can reach. And there's purpose for that. I remember when I first got saved and they taught me a little bit, and I ran up on a young black girl, and I asked her this question. I said, if you were to die right now, you know for sure you go to heaven. She said, I don't know. I said, I'll show you in the Bible if you got time. And she said, you're... And I went in there with that little young black girl, and I had another guy with me, and was able to lead her to the Lord right there on her kitchen table. Let me tell you what, there's some purpose out there. There's people that you can reach that I can't reach. The purpose, you say, well, I'm not writing a book about a purpose-driven life. I know God's got a purpose for us, and I know I got a book. Here's my book of purpose right here. As Christ reached me, I want to reach others. And last, one verse, a couple of verses found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let me tell you what these disciples over here said. It said this in verse number 21 in the book of John. Then willingly they received Him under the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land where they went. He gave them a purpose. You see, when they got off that sea, there were some things they could tell people. He said, I remember when I was rowing, and I remember when I was toiling, and I remember when the wind got up. But I remember this. I remember there was somebody who came out here on the water. Let me say this before I go on. The Bible never says Jesus walked on the water. He said something more deeper than that. If you read in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark and the book of John, it always says this, He was walking on the sea. You know what that means? You know what the sea is? The sea is where every body of water empties itself. It's where the creeks, it's where the streams, it's where the rivers, it's where every little body of water empties their water into. You see, if it said He walked on the water, see, Peter walked on the water. Let me tell you what, Jesus walks where nobody else can walk. You see, He'll let Peter walk on the water, but let me tell you where He walks. He walks on the sea. He walks on every water, every little circumstance, every little trouble, every little trial. He's walking on top of that. You see, I was reading after one man, he said, Peter had a little faith. But let me tell you what, I didn't even see any of those other disciples where he said they even stood up in the boat. Let me tell you, he had great faith. But let me tell you, he said Peter walked on the water. But let me tell you where Jesus walks. He walks on the sea. You see, He's ready to walk on your sea this morning. He's ready to calm that wind. He's ready to say, peace, be still. It is I, be of good cheer, be not afraid. Some things you need to know as you go through the storm. You need to know that we're governed by His providence. We're being grown by His plan. We're graced by His prayers. We're gladdened by His presence. We're guarded by His protection. And we're guided because of His purpose. You see, God's got a purpose for each one of us here this morning. Thank y'all for your attention.